First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts apart except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of God so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message of wisdom, the gospel. Help us now, Lord, as we look at this passage. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to understand what we read. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16 tonight. And the title of the talk is God's Message of Wisdom Revealed by the Spirit. I'll split it into two sections. Firstly, we'll look at God's message of wisdom, and then we'll see how it is revealed by the Spirit. So firstly then, God's message of wisdom. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul about 2,000 years ago to the church in Corinth, in Greece. There he is. As you can see, he's got a lot on his mind. Things are not going particularly well at Corinth. Arguments have broken out among the people as to which of their leaders is best. There are reports of sexual immorality in the church, and they're even taking one another to court. And all of this is from a church that thought it was wise, thought it was spiritually mature. But obviously, you know, their behavior shows otherwise. We saw last week that the message of the cross seems like foolishness to those in the world. And maybe even some of the believers in Corinth thought this as well. And this week, Paul explains that the message of the cross is actually wise. It is the wisdom of God. Verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. So the message of the cross is actually wise. As we saw, you know, in the activity, it is God's plan to deal with the problem of human sin and provide a way that we can be forgiven and reunited with him. And if the Corinthian Christians actually were spiritually mature, they would recognize that. But it seems that they were more impressed with human wisdom and fine-sounding arguments. You know, perhaps they thought that the message of the cross was, you know, a bit basic teaching. It's not very impressive, you know, a guy dying on the cross. You know, it's okay for beginners, but now we need something a bit more advanced, something that sounds a bit more spiritual, plausible, impressive. But in fact, they fail to see that the message of the cross is the center of God's plan of salvation. And there's nothing more important or more advanced than this. So in this section, Paul goes on to speak a bit more about the wisdom of God, what it is and what it isn't. Firstly, then, what it isn't. Verse 6 again. We, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So God's wisdom is not the wisdom of the world. Human wisdom, it comes and goes, doesn't it? You know, what is fashionable and all the rage. One year is forgotten the next. If we just think about the area of dieting and weight loss, something very close to my heart at the moment, there have been all sorts of fads that have come and gone over the years, each claiming to be wise. For example, here are just a few. Firstly, the grapefruit diet. Eat half a grapefruit with every meal to lose weight. How about that? If you don't like grapefruit, what about the cabbage soup diet? Eat as much cabbage soup as you want for a week and not much else. Sounds a bit grim. And these guys are cheating. I'm sure there's bits of bacon in that as well. What about the Sleeping Beauty diet? Not as Disney as it sounds. It involves taking sedatives to make you sleep for several days. And when you're not awake, you're not eating cake. Apparently, it's a real thing. It was popular with like Hollywood types, but obviously it's very dangerous indeed. And finally, my favorite, the tapeworm diet. Eat, 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 and always stay thin. Fat, the enemy that is shortening your life, banished. How? With sanitized tapeworms. Jar packed. Friends for a fair form. Easy to swallow. It is great. That's a real thing. It's crazy what people would do. Human wisdom, then, not always wise. And this is not to say that all human wisdom is useless, but there is a lot of rubbish out there, and it changes with the times. But God's wisdom doesn't change. As 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29 says, "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind." So God's wisdom doesn't change. So that's what God's wisdom isn't. So what is God's wisdom then next? Let's read verse 7. "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." Now, there's a lot going on in this verse. Firstly, God planned our rescue before time even began. Imagine that. You know, it was always the plan for Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven. So it's not a plan that, you know, changes with the seasons. It was a plan that was in place on day one, on day zero even, or minus one. But it's also a plan that remained hidden for many years. You know, God gave hints of the plan in the Old Testament, prophecies, but by and large, it was hidden from us. And when things actually happened in about 30 AD, it was unrecognized by most of the people in Jesus' day. You know, verse 8 says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So the people of Jesus' day didn't understand it. You know, the religious leaders, the political leaders and the normal people, you know, if they had have understood that Jesus was God, come down to earth, they wouldn't have crucified him. And this was in part because God's plan is not something that we can work out for ourselves using human reasoning. In verse 9, we have a quotation, perhaps from Isaiah, perhaps from somewhere else. It says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God hath prepared for those who love him. You know, we can't work out what God's plans are. We've never seen anything like it. We've never heard anything like it. We've never even imagined anything like it. You know, if you were to gather together all of the cleverest people you could find, all of the boffins and the philosophers and the politicians and the business people, and ask them to work out what are God's plans, they wouldn't have a chance. It's not something that we can work out for ourselves. However, verse 10, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. What we could not know, God has made known to us by his Spirit. Now, his plan to save us. And we cannot even imagine how wonderful the future in heaven will be for those who love him. So that brings us to our second point tonight. God's message of wisdom is revealed by the Spirit. So in this section, we see how God's plan of salvation gets from the mind of God to us here and now. And we see that the Spirit of God is involved every step of the way. Firstly then, step one, the Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Verses 10 to 11. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, me and the missus, we like to play a game from time to time when we're out walking. We call it, Who Am I? And it goes like this. I would think of a famous person from TV or film or books or something, real or fictional, and Anne would have to guess who I was thinking of by asking questions. But I can only answer yes or no. So she's got to ask very good questions and deduce who I am. And once she gets it, we swap. And then she would think of someone and I would guess. There's no end of excitement in the Andrews household. And now we're going to play this game tonight, except you're not allowed to ask any questions. You've just got to guess who I'm thinking of. And to give you a chance, I'll give you three guesses. Okay, I'm thinking of someone. Three guesses. Who am I thinking of? Sorry? Paul? No. Good guess though. Anyone else? Bernard? No. Anyone? One final guess? Donald Trump. No, not Donald Trump. No, sorry. No. I was thinking of Jacob Rees-Mogg. You see, you know, no one knows what I'm thinking of except for me, yeah? And in the same way, no one knows what God is thinking of except the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God knows what God's plans are and what he plans to do and when and why. Step two then. The Spirit then teaches the apostles. Verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So the Spirit teaches the apostles about God's plan of salvation so that they would understand it. And this is just what Jesus promised would happen. He told his disciples that after he was gone, God would send his Spirit to teach them. In John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, he says, All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So now the apostles know God's plans. The The Spirit reminded them of the things they witnessed, you know, the life and the teachings of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, and the explanation behind it all, what it all means and what it all achieved as well. Step three then, the apostles then speak the words of the Spirit. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So the things they learn from the Spirit of God, they pass on to other people, you know, people like us. They speak the words taught by the Spirit. And they did this in their own time by speaking and teaching and writing letters to people. And they do this in our time through the Bible. The Spirit of God inspired them to write down the things that they were taught so that we can read them today. So we've gone from the mind of God to the Spirit of God to the apostles. What about us? Finally then, step four. The Spirit helps people to understand the message. Verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So we can only understand and accept the message of Jesus with the help of the Spirit. We need his help to open up our eyes and our minds and our hearts to the truth. Without his help, we will not accept the message. In fact, we cannot understand it, it says. It will just seem like foolishness to us. It doesn't matter how clever we are, we can't reason our way to God using just human wisdom. Now, William Pitt the Younger, there he is. He was a clever chap, the youngest Prime Minister of Great Britain at the age of just 24. How about that? He was a great friend of William Wilberforce, you know, the famous Christian campaigner for the abolition of slavery. One day, Wilberforce finally persuaded Pitt to listen to a sermon by the renowned evangelical preacher Richard Cecil. And they listened for about an hour, and on their way out of the church, William Pitt said to his friend, "You know, Wilberforce, I haven't the slightest idea what that man has been talking about." You know, even though he was a really clever man, he did not understand the message of the cross. Because without the help of God's Spirit, no one can understand the message of wisdom. But the opposite is also true. With the help of God's Spirit, anyone can understand the message of the cross. You know, perhaps it's the experience of many of us here. You know, in the beginning, before we were Christians maybe, you know, we'd read bits of the Bible and we kind of understand the words on the page, but it doesn't really make sense to us. But then one day, you know, with the help of God's Spirit, you know, suddenly it clicks. It all falls into place. What used to be a mystery to us now becomes clear. You know, we understand finally, yes, Jesus died for me. He took my sins on himself on the cross and paid the punishment that I deserve. You know, the Spirit of God here is a little bit like having a satellite dish on your house. You know, a satellite dish on your house. So imagine someone makes an awesome TV show in a studio somewhere, and then it gets transmitted through the airwaves, and it bounces off a satellite, and then it's heading our way. We need to have a satellite dish on the house in order to be able to receive the signal and watch the show. And in a similar way, the message of Jesus has gone from the mind of God through the Spirit to the apostles, and then it's heading our way. We need to have the help of the Spirit in order to understand and accept it. I'm not going to cover verses 15 and 16 this evening because I think they're going to be covered in more detail in chapter 4. But if so, in coming weeks. But so, if you're interested, you can hassle me afterwards if you like. So, what can we take away from all this? Well, firstly, I think we should be grateful that we are living in a time where God has revealed his plan to mankind. You know, it's actually a great privilege to live in an age where God has shared what he is doing with us. And if we've already accepted the message, we should be grateful, I think, that God has chosen to reveal it to us through his Spirit. You know, that he opened our eyes and our hearts to the truth of the gospel. I think this passage also highlights the work of the Spirit as well, and therefore the importance of prayer. You know, if we want to understand and accept the message, then we should pray that God would help us by his Spirit to do so, because that is the only way that it will happen. And in the same way, if we would like our friends and our loved ones to know God too, we should pray that he would help them by his Spirit to understand and accept the message. Let's finish with a few words from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Let's finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message of wisdom, the good news of Jesus. We thank you for revealing it to us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there are any here tonight who do not know you, please would you help them by your Spirit to understand and accept the message of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.